Folks, let's pray, and then we're going to jump into the Word this morning. Father, we love You. We thank You for this opportunity. And Lord, we thank You, Lord, that You are an amazing God, and Lord, that Your heart is towards the humanity, Lord, that lies before us on this globe. You love people, Lord. You love people. And I thank You, Lord, that I'm one of those people. But Father, this morning we pray over this Word. We pray that through the power and the anointing of Your Spirit, Lord, that You'll open us up to receive, Father God. That, Lord, this Word will be anointed, Lord, Father. That, Lord, we won't walk through another religious motion, but, Father, we'll have something real, and we ask it in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, folks, this morning, I almost feel like I'm ministering to the choir, or preaching to the choir. Because I imagine there are many of us in this room that probably don't even need this message, but I really believe that as the Spirit of God leads us on this journey called Christianity, I really believe that He takes us aside many, many times, and He kind of just reminds us of the basics. Amen? You know, I mean, sometimes I think we get really, really busy being Christians and doing Christian things, and sometimes I think it's easy to be pulled aside from those things that are really essential in the kingdom of God. So this morning we're gonna kind of revisit an area that we visited many times in this congregation, but I believe that it's necessary. Amen? So this morning I want to talk to you about the kind of the way we feel sometimes whenever we read a Bible study, a Bible story, or we have a Bible story preached to us, and that Bible story contains a hero, you know, a hero. Kids love the story of David and Goliath, amen? And the story of Moses and the ark, they don't like that one because it was Noah. I was just seeing if you guys were awake. They love the stories where there emerges from that story that hero, you know, that they can really root for. And you know, I mean, even us, whenever we're, you know, as adults, we can work our way through a Bible story. And, you know, it leaves us with this amazing feeling, you know, that look what God did through David as he literally rescued an entire nation. You know, the story in the book of Esther, you know, where she literally steps up and goes into the king, and, you know, that scepter finally is pointed at her, and literally by her actions she rescued the nation. Amen? I mean, it just makes you feel good. But oftentimes what happens is we get that Bible story and it makes us feel so good, but then we go back to our very sometimes ordinary lives. How many of y'all have an ordinary life? Just quickly. An ordinary life. And you know, we oftentimes forget about the exploits that these amazing Bible characters carried out in their lives. But now this morning, I want to bring us to a story that I love this story. I mean, every time I read it, it makes me have that good feeling on the inside. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. And we know the story of Good Samaritan. We know that the priest passes by, the Levite passes by, but the Samaritan, the despised, despicable, horrible Samaritan, he stops and he loves and he heals and he gives. And he even goes the extra mile whenever he says, what else that guy needs, you just put it on my account. Jesus is the one that's telling this story. And to show the difference between heroes and ordinary, the difference between being religious or making a difference for the kingdom of heaven. I really believe that here in the United States, a lot of times whenever churches really struggle financially, numerically, and right across the board, I really believe whenever those struggles come to churches, oftentimes it's because they're looking for the next great program. You know, they're looking for the next great marketing strategy to come in. And, you know, that's what it's going to be. It's going to take one of those programs. It's going to take one of those strategies to get us over the top. But I believe that church is a little bit more simple than that. I believe what makes churches prosper And whenever I say prosper, you have to understand, there's more to church prosperity than just filling up the sanctuary or having a big bank account. Are you with me? Prosperity, as I see it, whenever a church really begins to prosper, is whenever people in that particular church begin to be heroes. See, that's the way I view the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan was a hero. Man, he stopped, he healed, he loved, he ministered to that individual. But as members of local bodies all over our community, all over North Carolina, Georgia, all over the United States, as members of local bodies, we have a decision to make. We can either be a hero, or we can just pass by. We have that decision. Every day, do you realize? I believe that all of us have the decision to make, because I believe in the providential hand of God. And I believe He leads us. I believe our steps are ordered by His very hand. And I believe oftentimes we don't even realize the supernatural encounters that He brings us right in the midst of. That we have these decisions to make. Either we can become a hero for the kingdom of God, or we can just pass by. And so this morning, what I'd like to do is I'd like to look at the story of the Good Samaritan a little closer. And I'd like to just try to understand, if we would, the reason why some people stop. That's what the Good Samaritan did. He's a hero in my book. But there were some other folks mentioned in that same story that just passed by. So my question this morning is, why do some stop and why do some pass by? So open your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 10. And let's just read the story of the Good Samaritan. It's a great story. Whenever the Lord gave me the opportunity to visit Israel, this is one of the places I really wanted to see, because I had always heard about this notorious road that the Good Samaritan was on. And indeed, we actually got an opportunity to travel that road. And so, in being there and seeing it, I can understand how thieves could literally lay in wait for somebody and rob somebody and do what they did to this poor man that the Samaritan helped. So verse number 30, Luke chapter 10, it says, "Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and whenever he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" It's a great story. It's a great story told by Jesus. Now, the one thing that I probably need to get out of the way early on in this message is this. I'm just thinking. Now, none of y'all get mad at me or anything, but I'm just thinking. I have an idea that if we'd get real honest with one another and ourselves, I don't know if I want to say this or not. Y'all are looking kind of angry even before I say it. I've got enough distance in between me and you, I think I could hit the door before you guys got to the platform. No, this is it. I think all of us at one time or another in our lives have probably passed by. You with me? I think all of us at one time or another have walked, if you would, on the other side of the street. I think a lot of times we look for those to come to church that perhaps are going to be able to support our cause here at the church. I got a quick confession to make, and you know, you have to understand, as you grow and mature, hopefully you get a little bit more wise as you go along, and you know, hopefully that's my prayer, that I'd get a little more wise, because every once in a while I say things I probably shouldn't say. But a few years ago, really almost upon arriving here in Franklin, one of the things that was a real heartbeat for me was to get the food ministry really up and running so as that we could minister to this community's needs. Because I thought, hey, man, we've got a great opportunity. Miss Debbie Albrick was head boss of Manna down here in Franklin, and she was able to get us all the paperwork filled out so that we could qualify and get all the various things that Manna offered us. And so I was really on board with this, and I really wanted to get our food ministry up and running. And so we did. And so folks were coming, and man, we were ministering boxes of food were going out every week. And I had an appointment scheduled with a man that came into my office, and he basically just sat down at the other side of my desk, and he said, "Pastor, I'm here to really talk about a problem." And I go, "Okay, let's go." He says, "Listen, about this food ministry that you really got a heart for, I'm just thinking it's not such a good idea." And you know, I'm all ears. He says, I really think that the food ministry is going to attract the wrong kind of people to this church. He says, because what we ought to be going after is the doctors and the lawyers and the businessmen of this community to get them into this congregation. But what you're doing is going to attract people that are going to come into this church that are going to just be needy. They're just going to be holding their hands out and wanting things. And now, honestly, you have to understand this. For a moment, I thought he was kidding me. I thought he was just yanking on the chain kind of thing, and he was going to slap his knee and go, "I got you, did I, Pastor?" And as I looked into his eyes, I realized that he was serious as a heart attack. That he really did not want a food ministry going on. That he really thought it was going to attract the wrong kind of people to this church. And so now this is where the, you know, hopefully the wisdom thing comes in, because I said something at this moment that I probably didn't need to say. But man, I thought it was a great line whenever I said it. I'm sitting there and I scooted my Bible across the desk to him and I said, "Have you read that by any chance?" It only took about another month before him and his family exited this ministry, because he was livid that day. "Well, yes, I've read it and blah, 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 blah." And I had other things to say that I'm not going to repeat right here, but nevertheless, are you seeing what I'm saying? I mean, a lot of times what we can do as a church is we can look around our community and we can begin to say, you know, that person could prosper this ministry if we brought them here. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ is in the business of people, period. End of discussion. It doesn't make any difference if they got a fat wallet or no wallet at all. God has called us to the masses of humanity to reach them. Amen. And I just want to be somebody who stops. That's what I want to be. That is my heartbeat, to literally become a hero for the kingdom of God. Just like this good Samaritan in this story. I'm telling you, whenever I read that story of the good Samaritan, it gives me warm and fuzzies. I'm going, man, that's the kind of guy that Jesus is looking for. Somebody that doesn't sidestep the issue and go to the other side of the street and just kind of, you know, hold a blind eye to the need of humanity. But somebody that says, man, I'm going to go to that need. I'm going to go to that issue that's in that individual's life, and I'm going to give them love. I'm going to give them healing. I'm going to give them the support that God has allowed me to put into their life. I want to be somebody who stops. Men, have you ever been driving down the road and you missed a turnoff? Sometimes I would just completely ignore going back because I'd tell Renee, I said, "I don't have reverse." But you missed a turnoff. I said, "I can get it. It's about 18 miles up here, but I can make a turn back. See, I'm going to tell you, even if you miss the turnoff every once in a while, put it in reverse and go get it. There was a time in my life where I was driving down the road and I seen somebody walking and I felt like the Spirit of God spoke to me, because I'm not advocating you picking up people that are walking down the side of the road. But I felt as if God wanted me to do that. And man, I'm telling you, I had 14 different things on my agenda. I was in the middle of running errands and I didn't have time to pick them up. I got a mile and a half down the road and the Spirit of God just would not let it go. I want to be somebody who stops. I turned that car around. I went back. They had made it down the road a little ways. I rolled down the window. I said, man, do you need a ride somewhere? They said, man, that would be awesome. I'm trying to meet my boss at such and such a place, and I'm going to be late. And man, would you just, that'd be awesome. And I have had a friendship with that guy ever since I picked him up that morning. I minister to him. We've had opportunities, and I'm going to get him one of these days for the kingdom of God. Because I had it in my spirit that I needed to stop, but so many times I pass up being a hero for God. So this morning in this story, let's just take a moment and look at who it was that passed by. Let's ask a couple of questions maybe of why they might have passed by. The reasons, if you would, why they might have passed by. And then maybe, what could cause us to stop? So, those two folks that passed by. And you have to understand, I'm not real proud of having to preach this message this morning, because who those first two people were that passed by. The Bible says it was a priest and a Levite. And this is kind of stinging, if you would, for a minister, because that's exactly who these two people represent. They represent something that really isn't good about religious service. Come on now. I'm going to tell you, you can get so busy sometimes being a pastor that you're not a good pastor. Did y'all hear what I just said? You can actually begin to be such a good pastor that you're not a good pastor at all. Because how many of y'all know that pastoring is not about taking care of buildings and making sure the temperature is just right? It's about the people that are filling those buildings up. It's about people. I want to be a hero for God. I want to be a person who knows how to stop. Amen? I have an idea that, you know, I looked at this story and I said, Jesus, you know, because Jesus is actually telling this story, just not of a true incident, but he could have used anybody besides preachers. He said, there was a certain donkey trainer that was on his way. There was a certain, I don't know, shoe shiner on his way. But no, he had to pick two people that belonged to the religious community. And I'm sure probably Jesus used these two people to drive home a point. Because oftentimes, we see people through a religious point of view. And oftentimes, I think, just like these two people, a priest and a Levite, you can get so busy doing religious service that you don't have time to minister to people. Most every time that I get an opportunity to pray over the offering in this church, one of the things that I pray is, Lord, help us to understand what is important. As we receive an offering on a Sunday morning and we're giving to the various things that we give to, help us, God, to focus on what's truly important. And folks, I got to tell you, what is important to God is people. Help us as a body of believers to focus on what's important to God, people. It's not religious service. Let me just make sure I get that communicated into all of our spirits. It's not religious service. Now again, I'm going to go back to that kind of wisdom thing. As you grow a little older, hopefully you're going to be getting more wisdom. There would be times in my weekly ministry that I would go to work and I'd have a myriad of plans that I had to take care of. And so I'd get to the office and I'd start working through all of these little things that I had to get done. And right in the middle of working through it, wouldn't you know it, there would be folks show up in my office, call me on the telephone. 45 minutes later, an hour later, an hour and a half later, I get finished. They're on their way. I'm back to doing what I came in the office to do. And wouldn't you know it, it's another phone call. Somebody else comes in. I'm finished. Another hour and a half has gone by and I'm back to doing what I started to do at the beginning of the day. And wouldn't you know it, and the story is repeated over and over and over. And there's times that I've actually gone home and my wife would ask the question, well, did you get a lot done today? And I'd go, nothing. I didn't get nothing done. I had 14 interruptions today. Absolutely nothing. Everything I went in to do this morning, I didn't get it done. And the Holy Spirit's there the whole time and he's going, no, 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 Mr. Bonehead. I needed you to take care of every one of those people that I've sent in that day. Every one of those phone calls. Every word that you encouraged. Every word that you built up. Every word that you gave them. I needed you for that. All that other stuff is just... Are you following what I'm saying? Sometimes we get so busy doing religious service, that begins to be the problem. And I have to tell you, there is a difference, and it is a big difference. There is a wide chasm between the two of doing religious service and Christianity. Come on now, you guys should have given a lot bigger amen than that. There is a lot of difference between religious service and true Christianity. See, and please don't misunderstand me. All y'all are going to quit. I'm going to quit teaching Sunday school. That's religious service. I'm going to usher no more. I'm going to greet no more. I'm going to do the food ministry no more for sure, because that's religious service. Now, come on. We're not going that extreme yet. But oftentimes in our quest for good, because that's what religious service is, you don't come here with some kind of evil intent in your heart and say, I'm going to teach the Royal Ranger boys. See, but in our quest for good, I want to serve, I want to be used by God. In our search for good, sometimes we bypass the best. So the goal isn't theology, it's not spiritual recognition. Our goal is to be like Jesus. It seemed everywhere Jesus went, and if you read the life and times of Jesus that are encapsulated in the Gospels, one of the things that you'll see is everywhere Jesus went, he was just constantly stopping and ministering to people, 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 stopping and ministering to people. I need to say this anymore before we understand. Jesus was like the Good Samaritan. He stopped. What's it going to take to get me to stop, Lord? What's it going to take? So, who was it that passed by? It was these two guys related to the ministry, related to religion. They were in the ministry. They were in the ministry. But now hang on. The one thing that I see by both of their lives is this. They neither one chose to minister. So now the question comes is, why do you think they might have passed by? First thing that comes to my mind of why they might have passed by is they were in a hurry to get to church. I've been there before. I've been there at that light, whenever the light turns, you know, and there's a couple of cars in front of you, and you're late anyway because your child threw up on himself right before you were walking out the door, so you had to go back and change the clothes, and so now you're really behind, and you needed that light to be green, but instead it was red, and you stopped, and there was somebody else stopped in front of you, and whenever the light turned green, they're caught up in conversation, or I don't know, picking scabs on their hands or whatever. And so they don't see the light turn green, and I'm back there honking, saying, "Get out of my way, you idiot! I gotta go teach Sunday school this morning." And I'm late. I got a whole class full of kids. Now don't you sit there all smug, because you've probably done the same thing. Been trying to get that last McMuffin from McDonald's, and you're late for church anyway, and you're up there saying, "Man, can you please hurry up? I got to get to church and learn about Jesus." So why might they have passed by because they were hurrying to get to church? You see, I really believe that religion can cause us to literally become too churchy. To feel like, perhaps, that ministry has to happen within the four walls of this building. Come on. You know, I want to tell you something. I believe that the Spirit of God may lead us every once in a while to not assemble ourselves together, but to minister outside this building. Come on. I've even thought to go so extreme as to one day just cancel church, period, on Sunday morning. Just cancel church and just say, "I want you to spend the same hour and a half, 2 hours or 3 hours, it depends on how long I preach, just go out into the community and stop." Come on. Just find somebody who needs you to stop and just stop. I have an idea that we could accomplish an amazing amount for the kingdom of God. And I'm not saying that we need to cancel church. I'm not saying don't come to church. But I'm saying that ministry can take place outside the four walls of this building. Okay. So what else might have been the reason why they decided to pass by? Now I'm going to get a little personal here. But perhaps they thought that the guy that was laying over there in the gutter may have had it coming. Come on. You've been around people like that. People who just wouldn't listen. See, a lot of times our reasoning behind our lack of effort to help those people in need is because we have this predisposition, and we make a judgment based on that predisposition that they should have been in church. Listen, folks, I want to tell you, of anybody that has been judgmental in their lives, I have been judgmental. There's been times whenever I've counseled somebody, I said, "Man, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. The Word of God, man, I'm telling you, don't do it. You're going to end up in a mess. You're going to end up hurt. You're going to end up broken." And for sure, as I'm standing here today, they've gone out and done exactly what I've told them not to. And you know what I think about those people? I think, "You made your bed, now just go lie in it." I don't know exactly what that means, but it sounds good. Isn't that right? I mean, didn't they have it coming? I told them not to do it. I told them not to do it. I told them not to do it. Some of y'all looking, "He's such a bad man. I can't believe that." I mean, have you ever got to the end of your patience with somebody, and then whenever that somebody got themselves in a big crack, you kind of like smiled a little bit? I told you. I'm not going to say I told you so, but I did tell you so. I did. So maybe these people had just decided to go on the other side of the road and to skip ministering to him, because maybe they had warned him, say, "Hey man, you shouldn't carry big bags of money with you and wear them fancy clothes up and down this road, because you could get taken for all that money. They could beat you up, try to kill you." And maybe they said, "I told you last week not to do that. Now see you later." Some of y'all are
Some of y'all are. I've actually said this to people. You should have listened to me a long time ago. People other than my kids. And you made your bed, so now just go lie in it. Man, I wish some of y'all would tell me that. I'd just go right now and take a nap. Like I said, I'm not sure what that "you made that bed, go lie in it" really means, but I think it sounds good in this situation. Whenever it seems like that whatever that individual got, he had it coming. Are you with me? Come on, now let's vote on this. No, I'm just kidding. That's not the way we should be. Maybe this good Samaritan had told that guy 100 times, man, you shouldn't walk around with all that cash, all that fancy clothes, because the thief's going to beat you up, take it from you. Man, you shouldn't do that. But yet the good Samaritan stopped his wagon train and says, man, I've got to minister to him no matter what, because he is a hurt person. He is humanity that has been bruised and battered, and it is my job as the hands and the feet and the mouthpiece of Jesus Christ to help them. Can I just tell you something? Whew. I am so thankful that Jesus does not take that attitude with me. Because, please don't tell the district office, this could actually get my credentials stripped from me. But Jesus has actually told me things not to do, and I have went out and done them. And I got myself in what they say is heap big trouble. And on the other side of it, there have been things that Jesus has told me to do that I haven't done, and it has cost me as well. But there's not one time that Jesus, that I've ever went back to him, and he said, you made that bed, lie in it, boy. Come on now. I'm so thankful that Jesus has this thing called amazing grace. And people, I'm going to tell you, that's the way we have to begin to understand humanity, is that we extend to them grace no matter what. We extend to them grace no matter what. We extend to them grace. Oh, but they've hurt me so many times. They've been stupid so many times. Let me just tell you something, folks. We all have hurt people so many times. Been stupid so many more times. Or maybe this last one of why they passed by is maybe just because they just didn't care. I don't think I'm preaching to anybody in this room that doesn't care. But you know, we can get a no care attitude because we think, oh well, you know, I'm righteous, I'm good, I'm on my way to heaven. And as long as I'm on my way to heaven, you know, my family's doing good, and I just really don't care. I'm kind of tied up with all the things that are around my house, and I don't have time for him. I just don't care. Can I just really be frank with you? I think religion, now please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Religion is different from Christianity. I think religion has a tendency to make people very self-centered. I really believe that. The more and more that I am affected by the fallout, if you would, of religion, I'm seeing it more and more often that people become very self-centered, they become very self-absorbed as they move through the various religious stages. So now we know kind of why they might have passed by, who it was, and one of the main reasons that we might not care for lost and hurting people in the world is oftentimes because we are good at math. How many of y'all are good at math? Only 4 people? Well, whenever we start a tutoring program here, we'll not call on many of you to help with math. See, the reason sometimes we don't minister to people, why we don't stop, why we don't care for them, is because we're really good at math. And this is what we can kind of almost instantaneously ascertain by looking at somebody. Whew.
man, if I stop, it's probably going to cost me a lot to help them. Boy, everything got quiet, didn't we? It's going to cost me a lot. And see, I'm not necessarily talking about finances. See, if we want a thriving youth ministry in this church, it's going to cost this ministry something. It's going to cost. You know, we've gone now 3 times back to this congregation to believe the Lord for a $4,000 offering to do kids camp. Youth camp. And I'll be very honest with you, I've already spent 2/3 of that. And the rest of what we got left to spend is for food. So if we don't make that $700, the kids are just going to fast for 4 days. It's going to cost to have a youth ministry. It's going to cost to have a children's ministry. It's going to cost to have a thriving missions ministry in this church. It's going to cost. But I'm not necessarily talking about finance only. But see, whenever we look at somebody on the other side of the road and we think, man, if I stop to help them, it is going to cost me something. It's going to cost me effort. It's going to cost me energy. It's going to cost me money. It's going to cost me time. How many of y'all just got an abundance of time? Raise your hands. I don't. I don't have an abundance of time. My time is so taken up. It just seems like every moment of the day is taken up. And I'm like going, God, I need more time. Can you extend these days to like 36 hours? He has yet to answer that prayer. He's pretty locked into the 24-hour thing. But it's going to cost us. Hurting people require energy, effort, money, time. So why might we pass by? Maybe we don't have as much Jesus in us as we profess. That hurt me to put that one down. Because I'm full of Jesus. But you know, whenever you find yourself on the other side of the road passing by, instead of on the other side of the road stopping to minister, one of the questions that immediately has to rise in our spirit is, why do we pass by? Well, maybe it's because we don't have as much Jesus as we think we have. Well, why might we pass by? Well, maybe we're still a little bit carnal. Maybe we're still a little bit fleshly. Maybe we're still a little bit worldly and we're given over to our own appetites and our own needs. Why might we pass by? Maybe we just don't like people. Come on, some of y'all can get in this. Maybe we just don't like people. We seen a video not very long ago, a guy named Rod Loy talked to us, the leadership of this church, about children. And one of the statements that he made in there is that he heard somebody saying it was another pastor actually, you know, saying that that everything would be fine in the ministry if it wasn't for the people. The pastoring would be relatively easy if it wasn't for the people. And you know, that's really kind of a strange statement whenever you begin to understand that that's exactly what the ministry is. It's people. But now I promise you, That man that Rod Loy quoted was not the only pastor I've ever heard say that. Because I've been to meetings before where other pastors would gather around and you say, well, man, how's your church doing? Well, everything be fine except for the people. People are driving me crazy. So why don't you go out and shoot yourself and do all of us a favor? Shoot a knee off or something. Because, I mean, seriously, folks, that's what it's about. It's about people. And if there's not one paper that's pushed across my desk at the end of the day that I had designed to get across my day at the beginning, folks, if there's not one shred of paper that goes across it, and I've had an opportunity to minister to people all day long, it has been an incredible day. Hallelujah. I mean, and we've all had these thoughts. Now, some of y'all are going, not me because I am a Christian. But you know, if it wasn't for all the rotten people, the world would be a better place, wouldn't it? Come on. If the world just got rid of all the rotten people and just left the sweet ones here, first of all, the population would go down to about 3. Come on. We can all be rotten at one time or another. In fact, the Bible tells us we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all in the same boat. We were sinners that were undone by our sin with no hope of eternity without Jesus Christ. The only reason there is anything good in me at all is because Jesus resides in here. Because folks, this is what I know. I had an opportunity to know myself before salvation. And I was a skunk. Do you know what skunks do best? They stink. And I was a skunk. I was rotten to the bone. Folks, I want to tell you something. If it wasn't for all the rotten people in this world, we wouldn't have anything to do for the kingdom. Come on. See, if we just decided not to minister to the rotten people, we'd have to get out of the people business. I've even found out that good Christians can be rotten every now and then. Come on. Okay, so last point. What could cause us to stop? What is it as we meander down the journey of life that God has our feet upon? What is it that could cause us to stop? What is it that we could just literally come to a place where we put our foot on the brake and we put the automobile in park? What is it that could cause us to stop? I think the very first thing that you and I have to begin to say, God, I need this in my life, is called compassion. We have to be compassionate people. Man, one of the things that really is drawn out in the story of the Good Samaritan is that the Samaritan had compassion. And folks, I got to tell you something. He was modeling Jesus Christ. Because if there was anybody that's ever walked this planet that had compassion, it was Jesus. Man, Jesus was a compassionate man. He was compassionate to the multitudes. Do you realize that Jesus was even compassionate to those men who had brutally beat him and punched him and whipped his back and ultimately nailed him on the cross? Jesus Christ was compassionate towards them. Man, if I'd have been up on that cross with that much pain and agony going on in my body, I have an idea that I could have said something like this: God, burn those guys. But he didn't. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're doing. Forgive them. You see, until we get a good dose of compassion and love for sinners, the lost, the sick, the lonely, the hurting society that we're a part of, I don't believe we'll ever stop. Something has to happen on the inside of us that literally begins to say, minister to them. Stop the motion of your life and minister to them. What else could cause us to stop? I really believe one of the most sobering things that I realized as this message was beginning to formulate in my spirit is this. I think one of the things that's going to cause us to stop on top of that compassion is that we have to realize that the Church of Jesus Christ has pretty much lost its impact. We've kind of blown it as a church here in the United States. And if we don't start stopping and ministering to our society, this society that we're supposed to be impacting with the love of Jesus Christ, I got to tell you, this world that you and I live in is going to continuous down a continual downward spiral until this nation has imploded. The Soviet Union was absolutely right back in the Cold War era. They said, man, we're going to take over the United States without ever having to fire a shot, never having to invade the shores of this great nation. This great nation is imploding from the inside to the outside.
And you say, well, we need to pass more laws. We need to do this. We need to do that. Folks, I'm going to tell you the things that are facing this nation right now will never, ever, 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 ever come as a law passed in Congress that makes this nation change. It's going to change one person at a time, one individual heart at a time, by the Church of Jesus Christ rising up and doing what they're supposed to be doing. I really believe that the Christian community in this nation literally can be the glue that holds the nation together. And I really believe that we have the ability to make a difference by our love for this nation and its people. So what could cause us to stop, to put the brakes on? I believe one of the most strategic things that we must pray for as we say, God, help me to be a hero in the kingdom today and put the brakes on and stop instead of just going by, is that we need a fresh revelation of the cross of Jesus Christ. We really do. Folks, this is what we need to understand. The cross of Jesus Christ wasn't just for me and you. That Jesus Christ died for the entire world. Some of you that were maybe a little bit more rebellious in your younger years can probably identify with this. My mother oftentimes would get me and she'd say, son, you need an attitude adjustment. And somehow or another, she must have figured there was a knob or a button on my backside because that's always where she worked at with the paddle. She says, I'm going to push that button until that attitude in you is adjusted. But folks, indeed, I think that's what the church needs to a certain extent. We need our attitudes to change. And this is always a risk. Because whenever you start ministering to people and you just start saying, man, the cross was for everybody. And God, I need this compassion. I need to understand that the church cannot lose its saltiness. It cannot lose that light that needs to illuminate the dark places. God, I need this attitude adjustment. And you start ministering to people, I will promise you this. You are going to get burned a couple of times. You're going to be ministering to folks and you're going to find out that what they're telling you isn't even the truth. They're just lying like a sack of potatoes. See, we have a food ministry where we really don't ask any questions about people that need help. If they say they have a need, we just minister to them. And this is what I know. I know that over the years there's been a box or two or a few hundred that folks have taken and they really did not have the need that they said they had. They really misused the whole ministry that we have. Every once in a while, Pastor Rick, because he's over there, he'll come into my office and he's livid. Because he found out somebody was lying and for the most part stealing, you know. And he wants to just go back to the Bisbee, Arizona and Carrizozo days and just load up in the old car and go up there and beat them up. It's true, isn't it? And he's already got his gun and he says, let's just stop on the way home and get yours. Now, I wasn't in the fray of all of this, so my emotion is not where his is at. But, you know, we just are going to be taken advantage of every once in a while. But I would rather err on the side of ministering to people than to bring them in here and shine the bright lights in their eyes and make sure they have 500 pieces of information that's going to tell us that they have a legitimate need. Are you there with me? I would just rather err on the side of I'm going to just bless them and I'm going to let that be in between them and God, because God has called me to be a delivery system of His love and His mercy, and that's what I've been called to do, so I'm just going to do it. I'd rather err on the side of giving
than to be somebody that doesn't give at all. Jared, if you'll come and help me close this morning, one of the things I have to tell you is, in many occasions, Jesus would tell us a story, and then he would say, go and do likewise. So in this story, Jesus tells us, literally, that we should be people who walk on the right side of the road. And I don't mean that as a right and a left side. I mean that as walking on the side of the road where the need's at. Amen? Anyone who is a giver, anyone who is a helper, a person of love, a person of compassion, Jesus tells us that that individual is a true neighbor. And that's what Jesus is looking for. And so this morning, you know, we had really good worship this morning, and I'm thankful that there was a true spirit of worship in this place as we lifted up the Lord and we blessed the Lord. But one of the things that worship is it's kind of a reflection of our love for God. I love you, Lord, and I worship you this morning. But I'm telling you that even a greater expression of love for our God is that we love the people who are around us with His love. Because this is kind of it. We can say all day long that we have a great love for God, but if we do not love those people who we see, we are lying to ourselves about the love that we have for God. And as I said early on in this, and nobody rushed the stage and you weren't mad at me, but I believe all of us in this room have been guilty at one time or another of passing by. But this morning, truly, and from my heart, I desire to be somebody that's a hero for the kingdom of God. Not in a hero that I might be placed on a pedestal and say, oh, look at what Pastor did. But folks, there are humanity by the tens of thousands that are around us, that their lives are in turmoil, they're broken, they're hurting beyond anything that you and I can understand this morning. There is divorce and pain. There is lack of finances and pain. There is confusion in a way that we can't even grasp it this morning. And I'm telling you, the kingdom is looking for people who will just put it in park and stop. And just say, man, how can I help you today? How can I help you? I mean, our prayer every morning should be, God, give me an opportunity to stop today. I want to be a stopper. I don't want to be like that Levite and that priest who just walked right on by for whatever reason they may have had. But, oh God, I want to be somebody who is moved with compassion whenever I see my fellow human being in need, my fellow human being in hurt. I want to be somebody who stops. And now I'm going to twist this right here at the end. And I almost left this out, but I got to tell you something. I've come to a place just by experience where I believe this statement I'm fixing to make. I think sometimes, no, I'm going to rephrase that. I think all the time. Whenever we take the opportunity to stop and to lay our hands on that individual's need, that individual's hurt, and to love on them and minister to them, I'm going to tell you something. It does more good for us than it does for them. And you go, oh, that's just impossible. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. There is a supernatural force that affects us in a way I can't even describe. I'm telling you something, if you're depressed or you're down, if you just think life kind of stinks, I'll give you a prescription that will heal whatever it is you're going through. Go out and minister to somebody. Just go out
and just say, man, I am going to bless people today with my abilities and my life. I'm gonna bless them. And I'll tell you what happens. It does more good for you than it does for them. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand this last statement, but, and I got to be careful here. I think a lot of times in churches that real ministry doesn't even take place. It's just all caught up in this religious circle. And I'll tell you what Jesus is looking for. And this morning I already said, I'm kind of preaching to the choir. I'm proud of this church. I really am. I'm proud of the ministry that goes forth from this church. The ministry leaders that we have in this group are second to none. But I still desire for real ministry to take place. Real ministry, you know? Where you take a hold of somebody else's need that you don't just pass by, but you say, man, Lord, I'm going to stop because I am moved with compassion for that individual.